Happy Memorial Day. I find it sad that in many churches, Memorial Day is oftentimes ignored, primarily because it's not one of the religious holidays on the calendar. But this morning, I want to take a moment of pause. I think it's appropriate for us to consider what Memorial Day is, and especially considering what Memorial Day really means. Memorial Day, by its very definition, is a call to remember. The title of my message this morning to you is simply that, is remember. I want us to take a pause this morning and remember a couple of things. You know, it's an amazing thing that this idea of being able to remember is nothing short than a gift from God. You ever thought about how much of a blessing it is to be able to remember things? You think, I don't know, I don't remember. Right, I'm not talking about short-term memory, but just the ability that God has given to us, that's built into us, the ability to close our eyes and go back to a day where we remember those good times, perhaps those sad times, those times of loss. Obviously, not all memories are good. Some of those things we wouldn't want to revisit and go back to, but if we allowed ourselves to, even in those times that we would label not a good memory, even in those times, if we allow ourselves to look at it, we can still even see the fingerprints of God in those things in making us who we are today. The ability to remember is certainly a gift from God. This past week, I read a tribute that somebody had written to their brother who had passed away. And it kind of highlighted my point on the value of being able to remember. He writes, "Today, I knelt at the bedside of my younger brother, Danny, just to spend some last moments together this side of heaven. I remember our youth. We were brothers, best friends. Together was the glue that kept us close. I remember climbing trees and playing baseball together. Oh, those were the days. I remember," he says, "as teens, times when we were at odds and all in the in-between stuff. I remember introducing him to his future bride, Marcia. Oh, those were the days. Today, I prayed at the bedside of my brother, the 23rd Psalm it was. Today I squeezed his hand and I reminded him of our bond of love. Oh, this was the day. Today, our last time together. So many things I wanted to say, hoping that he might awake and say, 'Glad to see you, brother.' Oh, this was the day. Today, I sat with my brother for the very last time, knowing of a brighter day that is to come. For Jesus will soon welcome my brother home. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be." What a beautiful gift to be able to remember. I oftentimes say one of the things I appreciate about long-term friendships is the ability to develop some remember whens. We've got a couple of those, don't we, Ken? Those times where we look back and see our kids grow and experience this journey of life together. The ability to remember is certainly a gift from God. It's something that God has built into us that allows us to look back at a situation completely different than we did when we were walking through it. Isn't that right? How many times when we're in the midst of something, we don't really appreciate how wonderful, how unique, how special it is. But then when we look back with the luxury of hindsight, how many times have you caught yourself saying, "Oh, if I only knew how special that time was"? Makes you wonder if we're in the midst of one of those now and not grabbing hold of that moment. To remember is a tremendously precious and good gift that God has given to us. It's a gift and it's also a tool. It's an exercise that allows us to not forget that we are who we are, largely in part because of the sacrifices of other people, because of the doing life together with other people. And as we celebrate Memorial Day this morning, this weekend, it's a call to remember that many have paid the ultimate price for the freedom that we enjoy as Americans. We live in the greatest nation of the world, do we not? Even with our setbacks, our divisions, and our current events that grieve us and call us to prayer so much, I'm thankful that we can be in a place like this, free to worship, free to express our opinion, free to read our Bibles without the fear of being carried away as enemies of the state. Memorial Day calls us to take a moment of pause and consider that the freedom that we have was not free. That from the earliest beginnings of our country to the most recent encounters that our soldiers face on the battlefield, our freedom has been paid for with the blood of men and women who thought freedom was worth dying for. And it's them that we remember today. To remember is an exercise. It's a discipline. It's a perspective that when employed correctly, it ought to create in us a change of life. We remember so that we would live in light of what has been done for us. And I think that is the thing that oftentimes gets dismissed. And it's that very thing that I want to bring to your attention, raise, perhaps even just remind you of this morning. Is remembrance is more than just a thought that's in the file of the back of our minds that we pull out in moments like this. But God has given us the ability and the gift to be able to remember so that when we look back, it ought to impact how we live out today. It ought to cause us to look back at what was done for us so that it impacts how we live today. As we look back at the many soldiers who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom, it ought to create in us an appreciation for the freedom that we so easily enjoy. This freedom that their blood has secured and this willingness to, it ought to create in us a willingness to ensure that their death was not in vain and that we would champion the cause of freedom as those who enjoy it because of the blood that's been spilt by them. We remember the past so that it impacts the way we live our lives in the present. Let me just say something. It's not a political statement. Please don't think it is. But when Americans fail to remember the cost of freedom, they fail to appreciate the value of freedom. And then they live as entitled people instead of free people who appreciate the freedom they have and live lives that communicate that appreciation. When we fail to remember the incredible price that's been paid, we feel entitled to the freedom that we have. And I think it's fair to say we live in a culture today of tremendous entitlement. And thankfully, days like this, there's a moment of pause where I pray all across our land, people take a moment and consider that the freedom that we enjoy as American citizens was not free. What we do as Americans, we ought to do as Christians as well. All throughout the scripture, we see that we are called to remember. Remember the goodness of God. To look back and remember the many ways in which God has provided. To remember the many ways in which God has protected. The many ways in which God has prospered us as his people. All throughout the passages of scripture, we see God presenting this tool before us to cause us to look back at God's goodness and God's faithfulness so that what's happened in the past will set the expectations as to how we ought to live, so that we would respond accordingly. In Exodus chapter 13, God is giving instruct on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And through Moses says in Exodus 13 and verse 3, then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. There was a memorial day, if you will, amongst the people of God. It was a moment of pause to not eat leavened bread as a reminder of what God has done for them. It wasn't something that was just supposed to be tucked off in the back of their mind, but there was a point where they were to celebrate, to memorialize what God has done for them, so they would respond in appreciation for God's goodness and for God's faithfulness. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12 says, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. Why are those there? Are those there just so we can say, wow, God's great? Well, that's partly the reason. Certainly God is great. His miracles and his wonders just communicate how awesome he is. But it's there so that we would take it from there and bring it to now, and we would move out in appreciation for what God has done. It is there so that it might impact and change our lives. The psalmist writes in Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Have you been there? Those moments of agony, those moments where you find yourself wondering, how did everything get so bad? Is anything going to change? Has God forgotten me? Those overwhelming thoughts, right? David understood that. David walked in that. And David is caught talking to himself. David is encouraging himself in the Lord. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within God, within me? Hope in God, he says. Don't hope in the change of a circumstance. Don't hope in the changing of a mind in another person. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Notice something. Hope in God, I shall again praise him. What does that tell us? It means somewhere along the line, in the midst of his turmoil, he stopped praising. And see, what happens is when he got his eyes off of Jesus, He got his eyes on himself and on his circumstances. And as a result of that, he found himself cast down. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. I love that. Look, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I send the lifeline out there. I send the preserver out to the past. And I pull it in. And I put it around me as hope. And he says, therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and Mount Mizar. What he's saying is, I will look back and see the mercies and goodness of God on display. God, you've been faithful in the past, and I know you'll be faithful right now. Get my eyes off of me and get them on him. And so we see all throughout the scripture this call to remember. Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all of your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? The psalmist got so caught up in who God was and who God's faithfulness was, he called it to remembrance and was mobilized by it. It wasn't just intellectual assent, but it's what mobilized him to live his day. Isaiah 46, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. The instructor, the challenge to the people through the lips of Isaiah from the Lord was this: don't think for 1 minute you're going to get away with anything. He says, remember the former things of old. Remember how I've dealt with things in the past. For I am God. There is none other. And so this idea of remembrance, and we could spend all day finding areas in the scripture we're called to bring to remembrance, but ideally what we're seeing here is that God is calling us to remember so that. Remember so that it impacts the way we live our lives today. Remember yesterday. And let that inform you and mobilize you today. We remember what has been done in the past so that it impacts the way in which we live in the present. That's the benefit of memory. That's the tool of memory. That's the discipline of memory. It's one of those things that we must employ in every way, in every area of our life. We must constantly be looking back and seeing the goodness and faithfulness of God. Now, the problem with people oftentimes is we remember the things we're supposed to forget, and we forget the things we're supposed to remember. Isn't that right? We remember the things we're supposed to forget, and we forget the things we're supposed to remember. And my challenge to you this morning is to remember the goodness of God, to remember the faithfulness of God, to memorialize, if you will, what God has done in your life and what God has done in the people of God, so that it causes you and calls you to action. That it causes you and calls you to respond. As I consider how our appreciation for those who have paid the ultimate price to fight for our freedom is right and appropriate, and ought to impact the way I view my citizenship and how I live as a citizen. That's why I think everybody ought to get out and vote. I think if there's one area that a citizen of the United States can demonstrate their appreciation for the blood that's been shed so that they've been free, is that they'd actually go out and do what that freedom secured, the ability to get out and vote. If Christians don't get out and vote, shame on them. So too, I consider the ultimate price that my Savior paid for me on Calvary. I look with great fondness and appreciation for those who left it on the battlefields. But as I look a little higher up, I thank God for the one who paid the ultimate price for me on Calvary, whose sacrifice granted ultimate freedom, whose blood ensured complete reconciliation, whose death secured for me peace in the midst of all circumstances, peace with God. And he did that by laying down his life for me. John says, greater love has no man than this, John 15, than a man laid down his life for his friends. And you see, in the church, we get that, don't we? We understand that. We remember that Jesus died for our sins. We remember that he walked the road to the hill, where he became the sacrifice for our sins. We remember that he absorbed the full wrath of God in our place. We get that. We understand that. We remember that he lived a sinless life and died a sinner's death. We remember that if we were the only one on this earth in need of a Savior, Jesus would have come just for us. We remember all of that. The question I want to raise this morning is, how does what we remember impact the way in which we live our lives every day? How does our lives, our day-to-day, communicate our awareness of what Jesus has done for us on the cross? Let me get a little closer. How has your Christianity inconvenienced your lifestyle? Because if we just kind of keep it out there as, yeah, Jesus died for my sins, he paid them, and that's good and that's wonderful. But it doesn't impact the way in which I just make every decision in my life. If it doesn't impact the way in which I live my life, if it doesn't impact the way in which my standards are set, well, then we are not remembering correctly at all. It is doing us no good at all. I said before, we remember what has been done in the past so that it impacts the way in which we live in the present. Shouldn't it? Monday is going to come and go. Barbecues are going to happen all across our great land. Parades will take place, and well, they should. It's a time of celebration for our country. However, only few will celebrate Memorial Day with the awareness that they are celebrating on the backs of those who gave their lives to secure our ability to celebrate. Some will do it, and rightly so. But in the midst of the festivities, you know how it goes, you know how it gets. There's more beer commercials than there are commercials of thanks for those who fought for our freedom. And likewise, we in the church must be ever so careful to ensure that the time distance between Calvary to this present day, that the amount of time that's taken place doesn't minimize it in our minds. Is it fair to say that in those first couple of years, those for whom Christ died were pretty radically changed as a result of it? I mean, if you study the way the early church operated, it's amazing to see how God used the early church. You see, what they remembered that took place impacted and changed their lives in such a way that they did something about it. They mobilized, they rallied around it, they gathered around it. It defined who they were. They were inconvenienced for it. They gave everything they had for the cause of Christ, because what happened out there in the rising of the dead of our Savior, it mobilized them to action. And I fear sometimes that because of time and, you know, years and centuries, and here we are, that distant memory doesn't mobilize us the way it ought to. And it's so easy to forget. When we fail to remember, when we fail to memorialize in our hearts what has been done for us, then in the same way that I mentioned before, people will live as entitled, not just in America, but then in the church. Live as entitled people and not free people. Focusing more on what God hasn't done for them than what God has done for them. Do you realize that if we just got so caught up in what God has done for us, if we got so overwhelmed with what our disposition before God was before we came to Christ, and we consider what Jesus has done for us, if we started to thank God for all of the things and rallied around the things that God has done for us, we wouldn't have time to divide and debate over these other areas that seem to be so small in light of that. You say, well, Pastor, that's very idealistic. No, that's what the Scriptures calls us to bring to remembrance the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And so this Memorial Day, I'm thankful for those who fought for the freedom that we enjoy. But it also causes me to remember, without minimizing that one bit, it causes me to remember the price that he has paid for me. And my allegiance to him is supreme. My devotion to him is of the utmost importance. I must keep it at the forefront of my mind, the goodness of God, the grace and mercy of God. And to the degree that I will remember is the degree that I will be motivated to keep my allegiance fully devoted to him. And so my allegiance is to the Lamb. We thank you for the awesome price that has been paid for us on Calvary. Father, forgive us for those times that we fail to remember. For those times that our allegiance is divided. I pray, Father, that the reality of what Jesus has done for us would cause us to action. That would call us to go and tell somebody about the goodness and grace and mercy of God. Father, we just want to say we love you this morning. How many here this morning would say, God, all my allegiance to you. All of our allegiance to the Savior, to the one who's given his all. He deserves nothing less than our all. Amen.